This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. We want to get his thoughts about a new initiative he has to make sure that the new senator-elect from Massachusetts, Scott Brown, gets sworn in ASAP. We also want to get his reaction to how Brown's win on Tuesday night affects several different debates here in the coming weeks and months. And, Senator, it's always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Greg. It's great to visit.
Well, you have actually launched a campaign to make sure that there are no political shenanigans here and that Scott Brown gets sworn in as soon as possible. Explain what you're up to here.
Yeah, it's called Seat Scott Now. And I'd encourage everybody listening to go to our website, seatscottnow.com, seatscottnow.com. And we have an online petition, which I'd love for folks to sign. And it's in reaction to not just speculation, but actually statements in the last couple of weeks by the governor of Massachusetts and others that if Scott Brown won, well, maybe they would just slow walk his papers and delay his being seated while the final health care votes were being taken in the Senate. That would be outrageous and corrupt and raw politics as usual, and we can't allow it to happen. So we started this effort and this website, Seat Scott Now, to ensure that it doesn't happen. I'm hopeful that that message is really coming across loud and clear, not just because of our efforts, but because of the strong voices of the American people, and the liberals are going to back off that initial plan they had. But we just need to keep the pressure on and make sure that that initial idea that they had doesn't come to pass.
Senator, on yesterday, Wednesday, the day after Scott Brown won, your leader, Mitch McConnell, said that he believed, after being concerned about this himself, that he didn't think the Democrats were up to any gamesmanship, as he put it. What have you heard since the election about what Democrats plan to do, if anything?
I've been hearing the same sort of things, and I'm hopeful about that. I just don't want to take any chances, because if, in fact, Harry Reid does the right thing, it's going to be for one reason and one reason only: political pressure. And so we want to continue to build that and illustrate that, get online signatures to our petition, get support behind Seat Scott Now to make sure he does the right thing.
Realistically speaking, how long should it take for a senator-elect in a special election like this to get sworn in?
Well, Ted Kennedy is a pretty good precedent. Obviously, Scott Brown's predecessor in the seat, the people's seat, Ted Kennedy, was seated the day after he was elected. Many House members and senators are seated within a few days if it's not a close election, and obviously this election was not terribly close, way beyond any margin that would demand a recount, way beyond any margin that could be overcome by overseas absentee ballots. So hopefully the Secretary of State of Massachusetts is sending a letter to the Senate today saying Scott Brown is the winner, and hopefully that will lead to Scott's being seated immediately. But again, we can't take any chances. We can't let up pressure, because if Harry Reid does the right thing, it will be for one reason: that political pressure made him do the right thing.
We've heard from the Massachusetts, I believe, Secretary of State, who said this on election night, it probably takes about 10 business days to get all the paperwork to Washington. Is that too long, or is that sufficient so long as the Democrats don't try to pass anything in the interim?
Well, I think he should be seated sooner, because there are many cases of winners in special elections being seated as soon as the results were known and it wasn't terribly close before a formal certification. So that's my preference. I think he should be seated today, quite frankly. Now, second best is if they do wait for that certification, if it takes 10 days, certainly make sure there are no controversial votes, including any health care vote on the Senate floor in the meantime.
Senator, let's talk about health care and some of the other ramifications of the Scott Brown victory on Tuesday night. There's obviously a lot of speculation about what the Democrats might try to do here. It doesn't appear that the House is ready to accept the Senate bill as is. There's been a lot of talk now in the last 24 hours of scaling it back to some of the other priorities, like the pre-existing conditions and that sort of thing. And there wouldn't necessarily be the mandates and the public option and that sort of thing. What do you expect the ultimate strategy to be here?
I don't know. I think President Obama and his liberal allies are still trying to figure that out, so I don't really know. What I hope for, I don't expect this out of them, but what I hope for is a dramatically different approach. You know, the final bill that passed the Senate Christmas Eve morning was 2,733 pages. I don't want to vote for any 2,733-page bill, including a 2,733-page bill that's written by all Republicans, because any bill that big, that complicated, would be full of dangerous language, either intended or unintended. What I've talked about all along is a step-by-step focused approach, for instance, starting with five bills, each of which could be 25 pages or less, and each bill would be focused like a laser beam on a real single problem, like pre-existing conditions, folks with that who need access to be able to change insurance, like being able to buy insurance across state lines, like allowing small business to pool together across state lines. Tort reform would be not my number four item, and number five, lowering prescription drug costs through reimportation and generics reform.
Senator, what we've heard in the interim time since Scott Brown won Tuesday night is the likes of Jim Webb suggesting that perhaps Democrats were overreaching. Evan Bayh has said the same thing. Dianne Feinstein has said that that the cap-and-trade bill that her colleague Barbara Boxer, the chairwoman of the committee that you sit on, that's not going to happen this year. So do you expect, in an effort to basically save their own bacon, the Democrats are going to either water this down severely or just scrap it for this Congress?
Well, I hope they scrap this approach completely. And I hope they step back and listen to the American people, because I think the American people want the sort of focused step-by-step approach I'm describing. You know, we all know President Obama is a great talker. I think the question now is, how good can he listen? And I think this next few weeks is going to be very telling about his leadership, starting with how has he listened.
Senator, last question. Obviously, a lot of seats on the ballot this year because of all the appointees that the president made at the beginning of his term, special races in New York and Colorado and Delaware and so forth. Your seat is also on the ballot. How would you characterize how your campaign stands right now?
Well, I'm working very hard. I always travel the state regularly. I have town hall meetings in every parish. I've had about 200 in-person town hall meetings since I've been senator from Louisiana. And it's going very well. I'm getting a great reception, but I'm certainly not letting up or assuming anything. I'm going to continue to focus on the concerns people have in Louisiana, which are a lurch to the left, an explosion of federal government power, and along with that, a limitation of our freedoms and opportunities, and this explosion of federal government spending and debt. And so I'm going to focus on those issues that Louisianians really care about. And I think if I do that and do my job, then the politics will take care of itself.
Plenty to keep track of. Again, the website is seatscottnow.com. Senator, thanks so much for your time, as always.
Thank you, Greg.
Senator David Vitter from the state of Louisiana. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.